Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Put your hands together for God all across the place. Remain standing. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 26. We're going to start from verse 5, reading in the New King James Version. No notes for you today, but I pray that God would take his finger and write upon the fleshly tablets of your heart. And I would encourage you to take notes as well to help you remember this powerful word, which I've entitled, Our God is an Awesome God. Job 26 and verse 5, the dead tremble, those under the waters and those inhabiting them. Sheol is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over empty space, hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne and spreads his clouds over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding he breaks up the storm. By his spirit he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Verse 14, read with me all together in the New King James. Are you ready? Nice and out loud. Indeed, these are mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Gracious, awesome, and mighty God. Move in power. Thank you for what you did in the first service. Now, in the moments that remain in this 11 o'clock service, may we be impacted and changed. And when we leave this place, we know that you would have spoken to us. May we be forever altered by your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain, will endure forever. So release your enduring word, God, into the hearts of your people. May every man and woman and child be brought low. You be glorified and magnified. And we leave this place having received revelation that causes a revolution in our hearts, I pray and ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I grew up from the time about 11, 12 years old, very involved in the ocean, surfing, boogie boarding. I remember when the first boogie board came out. Some of you might not know that, what that is. Started surfing. And we used to use terminology about waves and surfing as that was an awesome wave. Toe, bro, whoa, that was an awesome wave. An awesome wave. How many of you know if a wave is awesome, then God can't be? Or should we say, if God is awesome, a wave cannot be? The awesome God of creation. Our God is an awesome God. I want you to bump the person next to you and say that. Our God is an awesome God. Go bump your other neighbor. Try it. It's quite fun. Ready? Set, go. Our God is an awesome God. And I seek to, as I preach this message, which I have shared before here, probably 10 years ago, a message on the awesomeness of God, seeking to repristinate the word awesome. I remember I was talking to one of our board members a number of years ago, and they said to me, we were saying goodbye, and I was thanking them for their great service. And I said, you know, you're awesome. And they said, Pastor, you just preached a message a while back. So God's awesome. So if God's awesome, I can't be. I said, good point. I seek to build your faith this morning and encourage you and to re-pristinate, to bring back its original, the original state or condition of this word, awesome, because there is only one who is awesome, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Context of this passage is Job is in the midst of profound personal crisis, having lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost his children. He had his friends. They're called Job's comforters. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Job's comforters. Yeah, nice. They're there around him saying, you know, this is all because basically you sinned. They're suggesting that his suffering is related to his sin. Now, I will say that suffering is related to sin, but Job was innocent. And thank God we're on a different covenant than Job. Come on, somebody say amen. Job's suffering. Here he maintains his innocence, and yet he struggles to understand, how does that all work? So Job 25 is Bildad speaking about the greatness of God and the insignificance of man, but then in Job 26, it's this theme of God's greatness, and he elaborates far more than Bildad did, possibly trying to understand the depth of God's greatness. You see, we can see creation, which I'm going to walk you through here, some obvious things in creation, maybe explaining to you some of the things that might not be so obvious, but creation's profound. And we can see that and yet at the same time miss our role and the importance in the midst of creation. Verse 14, indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. The mere edges. If you were to look at a tapestry, perhaps, and only be able to see the edges or the fringes of that tapestry and see these vibrant colors of gold and crimson and purple, and you just see these vibrant colors just on the fringe, just on the edge, just the mere edges, it gives you an imagination of what the whole tapestry would be like. So when Job says, talking about creation, and he says, these are just the edges or the fringes of his works, one version says, the mere edges of his ways. What are his ways then? And that's really what he's saying. Who can understand the awesomeness of his power? Our God is an awesome God. Say it again. Our God is an awesome God. Make it personal. My God is an awesome God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, listen to this. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Stop. In him you also trusted. That's faith. Pistis is the word believe. The word of truth. What is the word of truth? That Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see in Ephesians, he's talking about the gospel of your salvation. You believed. So he's talking to them. If you believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again from the grave, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. It is that simple. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Believing, repenting, and believing the greatest message called the gospel, good news. Gospel means good news. The greatest message, believing, that's what he's referring to them. He's talking to believers, the church in Ephesus. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Everybody say guarantee. The guarantee. Everybody say guarantee. Guarantee. That Greek word is arabon. It's earnest, the earnest of your inheritance. It's earnest. Anybody ever bought land or, you know, you're doing a real estate deal, you have to come up with earnest money, or you're going to go buy a car. Then you're like, I've got to go get the rest of it. Let me put $1,000 down. Let me put $500. I'll be right back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So when this says arabon here, guarantee, a guarantee of our inheritance, arabon, it's the first installment. Let me take you logically somewhere. If this is the first installment, my God, what is the whole thing like? That would be heaven. Wow. Guarantee of our inheritance into the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. My, my, my. Here's a quote by a theologian. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, a first installment. We have the assurance that after the initial deposit, a subsequent installment will follow. Our God's an awesome God. Let me talk about creation and some of the things that we can see. The sun. The sun. The sun is a G-type main sequence star called G2V, located at the center of our solar system. It's a nearly perfect sphere, hot plasma, primarily composed of hydrogen, 74%, helium, 24%, trace amounts of heavier elements. The sun generates energy through a process of nuclear fusion. At its core, where hydrogen atoms combine to form helium, releasing vast amounts of energy. Wow. Here's another definition. It's a star, and by the way, it's a medium-sized star. It is not a large star. A self-luminous celestial body consisting of gases held together by its own gravity, in which the energy generated by nuclear fusion reactions in the interior is balanced by the outflow of energy to the surface. Here's another definition. The sun is a star, a massive glowing sphere of hot gas, primarily made up of hydrogen and helium. It's at the center of our solar system. It is a source of light and heat that sustains life on Earth. If we did not have the sun, we would not be here. Wow. The temperature of the sun is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. The guy that measured it is no longer with us. It's so massive, exerts a powerful gravitational pull on everything in our solar system. It's because the sun's gravitational pull, because of the sun's gravitational pull, the Earth orbits the sun along with the rest of the planets in our solar system. In fact, the sun's gravitational pull is indeed powerful, accounting for 99.86% of the total mass of the solar system. You need to hear that. The total mass of the solar system, 99.86% the sun is. Wow. I was reading these. I got very scientific, and I didn't understand it, half of what was being said. And I just felt like I was overwhelmed, and it reminded me of an illustration of a little boy traveling in the back of a car. You might feel like that right now. Traveling, little boy, little girl, traveling in the back of a car who's eating an apple. And as that child that eats the apple gets distracted looking out the window, and eventually looks back and sees the apple is now brown. Seeing the apple brown from where they had taken a bite, says, "Dad, how come when I bit my apple, it's brown now?" And the father says, "Oh, that's because of when you remove the outer aspect of the apple, it started what's called an oxidative process. When oxygen," and says, "Dad, are you still talking to me?" I was preached the same message in the first service. I had a scientist pull me aside and give me some further education. I thank them, and I have no intention of trying to communicate that to you. Sun. 1 second, right? Right there, right? Right there. 1 second, just one. 1 second is more energy that's been produced in the entire recorded history of all of mankind. 1 second is more energy than's ever been produced. Come on, somebody say, "Whoa, the sun, man." Sustains all life in the earth. The sun, the earth, all the planets are part of what's called the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is 150,000 light years across, actually. New statistics, new measurements say. It's 150,000 light years to 200 light years. A light year. You're like, a what year? A light year is, definition. A light year is the distance that light can travel in a vacuum over 1 year. Approximately 5.8 trillion miles. So 150,000 light years to 200,000 light years. In other words, from the time the light started, it takes 150,000 years to reach the end. That's just our galaxy. That's just the Milky Way galaxy. They say there's hundreds of thousands. They discovered galaxies last week that they didn't even know were there. Our God is an awesome God. Say that. Our God's an awesome God. Wow. The nearest galaxy to ours is the Andromeda Galaxy, 2.3 million light years away. They have all this incredible content on supernovas and black holes and turn to Psalm 147. I'm not going to talk to you about supernovas and all of that. What's the point? I'm trying to awaken your heart and your understanding to know that God is the God of creation and he's awesome. So what does that have to do with me? Well, hang on. Hang in there. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes the grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor his delight in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates. I just feel this is a prophetic word over Jerusalem and Israel even now. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool, scatters the frost like ashes, hurls down the hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Throughout scripture, you'll see this evidence of creation all around. There's no one flower that's the same. There's no one star that's the same. And he made it all. Our God is an awesome God. Say it again. Our God is an awesome God. The stars. How about the stars? How many stars are there? You might try to count. Abraham tried. Can you count the stars? Can you imagine Abraham like, excuse me? I mean, just take a quadrant and start counting them. And then there's another. What, did I count that one? I mean, it's just, how are you going to count them all? Astronomers estimate that the observable universe, now observable has expanded because we have technology like the Hubble telescope and we have increased technology that allows it to be observable. That's why now what they know from the Hubble telescope and other resources that they're able to see more galaxies and discover galaxies spinning off that they never saw 50 years ago. So of the observable universe, astronomers estimate more 100, excuse me, I had this wrong in the first service. I correct it now. There's estimated more than 1 billion galaxies. 1 billion. More, you're in one. We're in one. We're like in a little speck called the Milky Way galaxy. Over 100 billion galaxies, and God made it all. Come on, somebody say he made it all. Our God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Wow. In the Milky Way galaxy is home to 300 billion stars that they know of. But that's not representatives of galaxies in general. That's just the Milky Way galaxy. It is said by one person, that one scientist, if you took all the stars just in our galaxy then, and you split them up with all the people, if everybody had their fair share, even cut of stars, each person would have 2 trillion stars each. 2 trillion for you, 2 trillion for you, 2 trillion for you, 2 trillion stars. And he knows everyone by name. And they say, well, what about the ones that are missing? What about those? They just can't find them. They don't know what's going on. Our God's an awesome God. They really thought no more galaxies are being created, but now with the Hubble telescope, they're able to figure that out. I mean, that's amazing. Come on, somebody say amen. How about in the Earth? That's space, universe, galaxies, 100 billion galaxies. Wow. How about what you can see in the Earth? Water. 71% of the Earth is covered with water. 71%. The average depth, so that's like, you know, from 1 inch of water at the shore to the deepest place that they now, they've only explored 80%. So they've only explored 80%, and in the exploring of 80%, they believe that the deepest place in all of the oceans of the world is the Marianas Trench. 36,000 feet deep. The average depth from 1 inch to the deepest place, average depth of the water that covers 71% of the earth, average depth is 12,000 feet deep. There's a lot of problems exploring down there, but they're getting better and better at it. Deep ocean. There's many ongoing mysteries. They don't even know what's down there. They do not know what's down there. They're finding new species, new things. It's because it's undiscoverable currently. Ocean. He made it. He made the sea. He made the land. The text we read, it says, the mere whispers, thunder, lightning, mere whispers. Thunder and lightning. Voltaire, standing in the midst of a thunder and a lightning storm, is reported to say, you know, there really could maybe be a God. Voltaire was the most famous atheist. Put an atheist in a thunder and a lightning storm. They quickly become believers of something. I was communicating with my media team. Thank you, appreciate you guys. I said, I want an image of thunder. That's pretty hard to do since it's a sound. Okay, let's. An average thunderstorm can create 20 kilotons of energy, comparable to a 20 kiloton nuclear bomb. An average thunder and lightning storm, 20 kilotons of energy. That's an average one. A large storm can produce 100 times that amount. Mere whispers. The fringes of his ways. These are the fringes of his ways. I mean, the earth, the land, the galaxies, the stars, fringes. They're not his ways. They're just a fringe of who he is. The fringes of his ways. Yeah, universe is massive. Tornadoes, floods. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. These are the fringes of his ways. Fringes. Wow. If these are the fringes of his ways, what are his ways? Well, that's a great question. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. You see, we celebrate God's significance in creation, but do not understand our own relation to all he's done. So what is the point of this message? I mean, it's kind of cool, and the thunder and the lightning and some of that. It's kind of cool. It's cool. The point is that God created it all. And in the midst of all of that, you are the most significant thing he has ever created. Oh, the animals and the porpoises and the whales. They're not like you. You're made in God's image. You're the only one that can think in terms of morality. Dogs, you might think they can think in terms of morality. Dogs don't think in terms of morality. Cats, we know for a fact, don't. Cats are like the fallen human nature. They just do whatever they want. You feed a dog and it thinks you're the king. It knows you're the king. You feed your dog, it's like, oh, master. Feed a cat and knows that you're serving it. And it knows that it's the king, your queen. Animals don't think in terms of morality, you do. You can think in terms of beauty. Nothing in all of creation thinks in terms of beauty. You can think in terms of right or wrong. Nothing in all of creation thinks in terms of right or wrong. Justice, you think in terms of justice. No one else does. Humans do. You know why? Because we're made in God's image. And so we can see all of the creation and the galaxies and stars and thunder and lightning and the sun. And we miss our significance, all of it, because you are more important than creation. Yes, you're a part of it, but you're very special. A very special part, Ephesians 1 and 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints. I got to stop and say, so many people don't understand how significant and important you are. What does God inherit? I mean, if your parents pass, he would leave an inheritance to you. It's beautiful. Praise God. A godly man, a godly woman leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Wonderful. What does God inherit? You know what he inherits? You. There is nothing more special than you and me than all creation, mankind. A special, peculiar, precious people. He desires that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. That we would know the hope of our calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's you, saints, as believer. It's not Mother Teresa. I mean, she's a saint too. It's anybody that believes, hagios, holy ones. You're made holy when you believe in Jesus. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God has released his power and he wants you to be aware of it. He just doesn't make the sun and the moon and the stars and all of those things. And then we just settle it that he's the creator, but then I'm just a worm. I'm a dirt bag. Yeah, he loves me. No, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you. And if you see the star and the moon, come on, when you drive out of this place and service is over in just a little bit, you drive out and you look at Pioneer Peak. You see all those mountains. You see that giant fish that you pulled out last week. All of those things point to the reality of a creator and your very important role in the midst of it. And God wants to illuminate your heart. God wants to awaken you to the reality of who you are. You say, what can God do for me? The builder of the house is greater than the house. Psalm 8, let me read this to you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory in the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you would care for him? Oh, and thou would visit him. For you've made him a little lower than the angels, yet you've crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Understand your incredible value. God loves you. He didn't come to die for a, well, creation groans. Yes, he came to die for creation too. But above all creation, you are the most significant, most important. You didn't come from an ape. You're not a reaction of a bunch of complex chemical reactions rising out of the primordial slime. And then over gazillions of years, you now become a human being. You really came from a tadpole. That is a bunch of bunk, which we will not teach in our school. Come on, all of that evolution nonsense. It's a bunch of hogwash.
Well, I don't know. They go that anyway.
Okay, you might have come from an ape, but I didn't. Pastor Karen told me to say that. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. I love that verse 6. You have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. Oh, this scripture. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. He sits in Zion and laughs. All the nations, Psalm 2. Reject him. The nations are but a drop in the bucket. Isaiah 40, verse 12, New King James. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and hills in the balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did you take counsel and who instructed him? With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as small as dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith spreads it with gold. The silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He speaks for himself, a skilled workman, to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they have planted, scarcely have they've been sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. Then he will blow on them and they will all wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number and calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Wasilla, O Jacob, O US of A, why do you say and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths faint and will be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. Can somebody say hallelujah? God who made the earth, the sea, the land, who made you and me, is able to release strength to help you, heal you, set the captives free. You are so much more important than all of creation that speaks of his glory. Oh, even Solomon, consider Solomon in all of his ways, and he wasn't dressed like any one of these flowers of the field. What today are and later are no more, and thrown into the fire. Why do you worry and why do you spin and why do you wring your hands together? Your way is not hidden from the Lord. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. You just got to yield to him and give your life to Christ and stand upon the finished work of the cross and decree his promises, and you will see the amen of heaven. You'll see the power of God. Come on, you say, well, when, Lord? The Lord's word says that he is light. He can break in at any moment. He can heal. He can deliver. There's nothing he can't do. Lift your hands to heaven and say, our God's an awesome God. Say it. Our God is an awesome. Say it like you mean it. Our God is an awesome God. Say it again. Our God is an awesome God. Put your hands together for Jesus. In a Holy Ghost meeting, which some of you might know what that is, some of you don't, stick around, you'll find out soon. Don't miss tonight. I'm preaching a powerful, powerful word called Unlocking the Unseen Realm. I believe that God has given me some keys and showed me some revelation that might be new for some of you. Maybe it won't be new for you. It's a reminder of how to unlock that which God wants to bring. Everything you see around you, everything you see in all of creation, everything came out of nothing. This building came from nothing. Faith. So don't miss tonight. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Keys, please. Thank you. Thank you. We've seen God do amazing things. But half of it has yet to have been told. There's so much more ahead. I remember first coming to the Lord, I had no understanding of his great love for me. I just didn't know. Because in my mind, I was unlovable and I had done things that were sin, separated me from the love of God. Oh, I remember coming into services, the power of the Holy Spirit touching me all those years ago in my 20s. And I would reject him and I'd go and do my own thing again, and then I would eventually make it back to a church service and God's power would come on me again. Or he'd surprise me at some event with his power and his presence, or he'd surprise me in my car. And his power and his presence began to speak to me really clearly. I love you. I love you, son. And then through the preaching and the teaching of God's word, I started to believe it. But I looked at the long evidence of why I'm not lovable all those years ago, and it was long and vast. And yet I began to hear God's word. Though he made the mountains and he made the sea, he made you and me. And if I would but believe him, he would take away my sin. He would wash me. He would cleanse me. He would take out the heart of stone and he would give me a new heart. And I needed one. Everyone needs one, no matter where you come from. in a Holy Ghost meeting. I heard this years ago, and man got prayed for and was on the ground. And power of God on him. He sat straight up in the meeting. He said, "Yay, my children, I love you, a Google to the 10th power." And then he lied back down. No idea. Nobody knew Google. You're thinking of Google, the search engine. Actually, the Google, the search engine, got the name Google from a mathematical term. It's a mathematical term coined by a 9-year-old in the 1920s, Milton Serrata. He's a nephew of American mathematician Edward Kasner. That's where they got the name Google. They spell it differently. Nobody knew what it was when he sat up and said, "I love you, a Google to the 10th power." So they did a little research to discover what a Google is. Some of you might follow this about midway through the definition of what a Google is. I have no idea what it's talking about for those of you that follow mathematics. Here you go. A Google is the same order of magnitude as a fractional of 70, being approximately 1.196 Google, or 10 to the power of 100.0784. And its only prime factors are 2 and 5, 100 of each. In binary, it would take up 333 bits. A Google is no particular significance in mathematics, but it's useful when comparing with other incredibly large quantities, such as the number of subatomic particles in the visible universe or the number of possible chess games. Kasner created it to illustrate the difference between an unimaginably large number and infinity. And in this role, it is sometimes used in the teaching of mathematics. And a Google can be written out. I should probably put it on the screen. The English number for Google is 10 duo trigonatrillion. On the short scale, 10,000 sextillions on the long scale, 10, okay. They also came up with a Googleplex. This number is so large, listen to this, that writing it out would be practically impossible because it requires more space than the observable universe. So what is significant about that? Yay, I love you. Yay, that's like, you know, King James language, yay, my children, I love you, more than a Google to the 10th power. You see, we don't understand. We see universe and all these things. We don't understand our significance in it. For God so loved the world. What is so? Really big. Enormous. Without measure. God loves you like that. Man, that'll just cause you to roll your shoulders back a little bit and be like, man, he loves me. I am significant in his plan. We are significant in his plan. Let it penetrate your callous heart that whatever you've done to reject him, he'll still come hunting after you. There is a point of no return where your heart can be seared. You can have a seared conscience, and some can be turned over to that. But if you're hearing me right now, that's not you. Say, what about the children of Cain? I had somebody tell me, I'm a child of Cain. I said, if you're talking to me right now, you're not a child of Cain. No, God loves you. No matter what you've done, he made a way for you. God so loved the world. I hope that in some small way, your eyes have been opened to how significant you are. Lift your hands to heaven. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Let him heal you. God's touching people all across this place.
Oh, thank you for the love of God. You made the mountains, you made the sea. You spoke them into existence. Release hope. Release hope to every person that's hearing this now. If God clothed the lilies of the field, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Don't be like the pagans. Run after so much. Trust in, lean on. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let creation prophesy to you. Let creation stir you with holy emotions from heaven, that the God who made the mountains, the sea, and the valley made you. And he longs to walk with you, talk with you. Creation is but the fringes of his ways.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.